time. We're recording?
Yes. Shall I stop and start
Oh,
again?
no, it's fine. I'll edit that off. That's fine.
Oh, okay. Or we can
Okay.
leave it. Like, let's edit it
Okay.
off and then don't. Just a little behind the scenes.
Okay. For this episode, I wanted to ask Katya about one of my favorite topics that she talks about. It admittedly sometimes feels aspirational to me. And I have been in spaces where she's guided in here. And the experience of someone who comes from high pace, high capacity background, and also really does love the manic aliveness. That's one point from the last episode that I wanted to come back to, is that often we're talking about somatics and nervous system, and we are going to talk about quantum chill and deep time in this episode. There can be this feeling that everybody's just supposed to slow down all the time, and it's actually not true. There's also a lot of speeding up. You missed Katja just like doing a big eye roll. Explain.
When you join the portal, you will see me eye roll all the time. This is my favorite. It's a golden archetypal gesture of eye roll. But
Nice.
yeah, especially social media somatics and social media healing promotes being calm and centered and slowing down all the time. And actually, people who find me and my work in the body voice, they've done that. They found themselves kind of to the point of completely sterilized and neutral, not feeling much at all. I was like, actually, I want to feel life again. Can we please? And the manic aliveness to me does not mean, I understand how it can be kind of come over as a this hyper arousal of like, high speed, high vibe all the time, being like this, but it's not. And manic aliveness is really the depth of connection and the experience you can feel in every moment. And the slowing down to me is not the function of speed, but a function of presence. And this is where the manic aliveness happens, because we can be present through fractals of presence. And how the best way I could describe this in my own experience is that every breath, every human minute, every human second for me contains a universe of experience. And so every moment I can access through this capability and capacity of the body, which is the body's the portal, side note, right? Through this capacity and ability of the body accessing these fractals of presence into universe within universe within universe within universe. And every like if you look back all the like native traditions, they have the same principles at the core of their teachings and practices. Like,
Yeah.
that's manic aliveness, when you can be present, so we're present in this human body, and at the same time take mystic flight, and at the same time be in communion with your ancestors, and at the same then same time build a very successful business, and at the same time have a delicious dinner with your loved ones, and at the same time, like, this is manic aliveness to me.
Yeah, it feels to me when you talk about that everything has so much potency. And that it actually, in fact, isn't separate from this state of quantum chill that you talk about all the time. They're one and the same, that you have enough presence to move quickly, to skip things when you want, and also to slow right down into this
Yeah.
state you call quantum chill, and accessing like deep time that's really tied to, that's another Instagram buzzword, is the quantum. And we didn't have an eye roll, dear listeners, but close. So tell us about that.
I went through a period of nerding out on quantum physics and really wanting to understand how does it work, but for real. And actually, one of my students recently, she told me that she did the same to very, very quickly realize that she already knows it all through the experiences we had at school. So like the experiences we did, the practices that we do, they are all these experiences of quantum chill and quote unquote the quantum leap eye roll, skipping everything that's important. Yeah, the physics are accessible through body, through the portal that the body is. And actually, I lost the train of thought because like my autistic and ADHD brain get so excited about the stakes, and then I go on tangent, and then I go in different like
Go.
this direction and that direction. I'm gonna grab this and gonna grab that, and sometimes I kind of lose the tether, the what we would call the grounding, which yeah, it's another topic.
And so, though, in this case, you were talking about how you nerded out on quantum physics and then a student at your school, which was formerly the School of Somatic Wizardry.
Misery, so that's
Romantic wizardry. And now is
Imaginal body. Imaginal body, the school of advanced humaning.
yes, which has a somatic and far beyond somatic, like classical somatics orientation, for
Yes.
instance, practitioners deepening their skills in working with clients personally. So that is the bulk of Katja's work, as an aside, right here. And also the quantum physics, the quantum chill, the deep time states, how does that relate in life, in business? That's a sense when I think about how quickly you landed in the business that you actually like. It feels like a really quantum experience to me, too.
It was very, yeah, also the way how can I describe it is on the inside, because I have this quite naturally, this capacity to kind of go through fractals into and expand time. And I've cultivated this capacity as well, very much on purpose, and still do, because this is like the coolest thing ever you can do. And then in my internal experience, like I've built a very successful business within a year. Like very profitable, successful business within a year. And in my internal experience, it was like all the right conditions, the right timing, the right pacing, right distance, right relationship. Like everything went according to the right timing. I was not rushing anything. I was not like doing like some stupid stuff, which I would totally do in my corporate years of working in corporate. And on the outside, it looked like I've just ran around doing a lot of things and trying out a lot of things, and people reflected it to me, and it was like interesting conversations, because on the inside it felt chill. I really had this foundational chill, and I had so much choice, like experience of somatic choice, embodied choice within, while trying some stuff, and some stuff did work and some stuff didn't, and that's okay. And some collaborations did and some didn't, and that's okay. And it was like the movement that was happening. Just today, someone sent me a message on Instagram just thanking me for moving so fast, like receiving information, realizing it into something and moving with it. And they just said like, thank you, like it's so inspiring. Okay, welcome. Come to the portal.
Yeah, I want to go back to like the experience of chill, but first, that's something I've really noticed with my clients that have moved through success quite easily, is that there's usually a speed to it. Like in the sense there's not the buffering, the second guessing.
Yeah.
It's like experimentation. Sometimes it's holding it lightly, but also there's an activation that is really always present. And that, to me, indicates this experience of somatic choice. Like I have the capacity in my body to try this out, to like move forward.
Yeah, definitely. This is something,
And or like the strategy, or I need to plan more, that there's directionality.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And this is also, like when I kind of realized this, what I'm going to say now, and I put it into words, and I was like, ooh, isn't this the most life-changing thing ever? Because usually what we do as modern humans specifically, we use effort, we use trauma, we use pain, suffering, martyrdom as the driving force. We use it as stabilizing force, and we use it to create momentum to move.
Yes.
And this is also where most like mainstream marketing is built on, right? Like, oh, you have this pain points, come, I can solve it. And we create movement through pain, through effort, through adding harder things. But this is not necessary. We can also move and create momentum and create like healthy momentum. And we can have access to this drive to move from an actual life source.
Mm-hmm.
Which obviously makes like, the universe of difference.
Mm-hmm.
When this is kind of the, I would call it the non-doing doing, like the fast non-doing doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, for example, like when, even when I'm producing, like I'm very prolific in my content, right? I'm producing a lot of stuff, and I can be like do 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 do, and it just like comes through and out. But it does not ever feel like, oh, I have to do my content. I don't know what to talk about. Blah blah blah. Like, oh, I have to work now. I have to write emails. If I begin feeling this in any amount, I would stop. I would not do anything. I would go, I would reorient. Maybe, like, it depends, obviously, on circumstances, but sometimes I'm just going to leave it until I feel a wave and a drive and a movement and the momentum that comes from the life force. Versus a very familiar, for me, like my default would be to add a lot of effort, make things really hard for myself, real hard. And the harder things get, the harder I will make them. I will put more to do, like to do things on my to-do list. Yeah, recognizable.
No, not at all.
No. I'm sorry, of course. But this is what we do. Like, this is what we humans do. And this is the human part, the physiology part, that really is biologically, evolutionary wired for contraction and hiding and fitting in and being like everybody else. Like, don't see me, don't notice me. Am I safe enough for survival? And then there's another huge part, however you want to call it, the consciousness, the source, the soul, that holds so much expansion and desire and the want. And for me, also this specific container, the portal, also feels like it's not a need. It's not a survival need. Like you'll be totally fine if you don't do this.
Yeah.
Right? Like nothing bad will happen.
Yeah.
And it's a completely 100% a want thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which to me feels completely different. Like immediately there's a completely different underlying energetics for it. Like you don't need this. You'll be fine. You'll figure things out. You've been figuring things out since ever, forever.
Yeah.
But you definitely want this.
Well, and there's something about like resource and aliveness too, right? It's like that. I think this is really tied to a question I asked you in the last segment, about why now, it also feels like a collective shift, like the fuel, the way we have been doing things is transitioning in a big, sometimes like terrifying, sometimes exciting way. And you summed that up, I think, so perfectly, bringing out one thread of that for so long, most of us, most of our ancestry, our culture have been moving from this place of stress, pressure, pain.
Yeah.
And orienting toward suffering as even redemptive. And what happens when we reorient to the current, the flow of life, toward manic aliveness, toward experiencing everything in the seen and the unseen realms, and having this experience of being in your business, seeing your work ripple out, and also that fitting into a very alive context of your life. And when I listen to your story too, and kind of know your trajectory, it's so interesting to me that in a lot of ways, the somatic architecture existed first. And all that tip of the iceberg brand and message, like that's really just skills that you added and like maybe shifted and what we would call strategy.
Still adding.
But like the architecture made the hugest difference.
Yes. And yes.
I feel like it's really taken me a long time to get here, having like the skills first. And it took a really long time to build, the architecture to like claim how I could help people, to be visible and, still adding that too, to have business be an experience of joy and experimentation and creativity instead of a need, instead of a survival. So I think it's just, it really speaks to the ethos of the portal space of when you build that architecture shift, how that, what you have access to, then everything else changes.
For sure. And I also realized, like, as you reflected back and as you speak this now, that it is the only way you can experience this is to experience it. No amount of words and posts and emails or whatever, or podcast episodes, no amount of words will ever give you an experience of this. And this is like the tricky part of how do we talk about it even?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Right? Like for most of, well, myself, most of the clients that I work with at whatever level are like expert information takers in. You know, they're like, if it were just the information, the hacks, the hints, it would have happened by now.
Yeah.
It really is far more of a body-based, experiential, relational experience, that shift.
Yeah.
I would say the biggest leaps for myself were when I started doing trauma resolution, somatic work in relationship. Like you also, it's tough to do that on your own.
It is not possible to do it on your own. Not possible.
So
I mean, to some degree and some things, maybe yes, but I mean, when injury happens in relationship, we can only heal in relationship. And like no amount of alone work you can do will ever really change anything.
Okay, so for our listeners, if you were going to explain how, well, actually, no, just what I'm going to do is talk a little bit more about the quantum chill and the deep time and like what else that gives you access to and how you get there.
Ew, how do you get there? practice and a lot of repetition. Not sexy. When I talk about these things, it's like, people are like, just tell me what to do. And I'm like, it's not about that. It's like changing the whole underlying condition of you becoming human. It's like basically, if we talk in terms of constellation work, it's basically our whole life we create this identity, we step into this identity, and we just refuse to step out and we refuse to de-role.
Mm-hmm.
And this requires de-rolling from your identity, questioning everything you think you know about yourself, everything mm-hmm. you think you believe about, like the way how you are, the way how you run the business, how your business is not working out, and how nobody gets you. Like, my default, again, is like, nobody understands me, nobody gets me. And this is like the biggest spiritual law ever, the projection, counter projection. Mm-hmm. Humans do this. Everywhere in the universe, like, everything is doing this. Like, whatever you project into your audience will be projected right onto you. And so for the longest time, I was like, nobody understands me. And guess what? Nobody did. And I received like so much confirmation of that nobody understands any of this. And I was miserable. And I was like, oh, I was adding more effort to my misery. And I was like, okay, then I'm going to move from this misery and effort. And yeah, it's not, I would not recommend. Anyways, the quantum chill.
Hold on for 1 second. Don't forget what you're going to say yet. But I see that. That is a huge thing that I see with the really deep practitioners, entrepreneurs that I work with. It's like they feel like they've gotten to a depth now that's really differentiating and nobody gets them. Nobody gets it. And I love how you said, yeah, and then nobody does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sorry. Continue. Quantum chill.
Yes. Quantum chill. It's kind of the opposite of that. It is like a whole study. And just again, side note, I teach this in a year-long study. So it's a thing. A quantum chill, if I would describe it in a short, kind of a more condensed way, is all about the underlying energetic relationality in between you and you. You and others, you and the business, you and the money, you and the world. There's a kind of the layer in between the relationship, the layer of relationship.
Mm.
And this is, I feel like sometimes it kind of is hard to get mentally. And it's, again, it's more of a feeling, sensing, experiencing thing rather than mental, like, let me get it and then I got it. So it's a really a praxis thing, and really the somatic orienting. Like, is there any relationship? Can I notice any distance, any relationship between what is happening currently and myself? Can I even step out of the role of being me into maybe like a witness position, higher consciousness, quote unquote, like whatever you want to call it? Like, can there be a relationship? And once we create this distance, like kind of this buffer, this liminal space in between, this is where the magic happens. This is where there's a lot of choice. This is where we, like, instead of like narrowing down on something, like, I have to have this, otherwise everything is bad and the world is going to end, which it is ending as well as another layer of collective, right, movement that is happening currently. And it's really about this relationship between you and the thing, because it's never about the thing. And like, everybody comes to me, to you probably as well, with the thing. Like, I have this thing, my messaging is not working, I don't know, I have this trauma that's like, doesn't make any sense, still following me, this pattern that keeps repeating in relationships, or like, I have a money block that people really love diagnosing themselves with things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what if we wouldn't, like, what if you just stopped diagnosing yourself and stopped solving yourself in this way? And we just look for a relationship between.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of the entry point to a quantum chill dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
I would even leave it at that. for now.
I just wanted to pause and let our listeners for a second like land there, because just phrasing those questions in that way of like, what it was, if it wasn't a thing, like what is the relationship? Is the relationship like the experience of listening to you talk about this quantum chill state, seeing you in it, experiencing it, is that you can slow down everything enough that everything is new, like that you're noticing reality beyond what you thought was reality, where things can be noticed and measured in degrees rather than polygons.
Yeah.
And that you can move closer in, rearrange, move farther away from whatever it is that is causing the clench, the loop. Yeah. Would you say that that's accurate?
Yes. Yes. It tethers what I said more into the earth, I feel.
Just a translator. My primary job.
Just. No, we're not just a translator.
No, I mean, I'm a
weaver.
But if I could distill most of the one thing, it'd be translating, like, energy into a palette. Mystics and, words that mortals can understand. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I think, too, that that's where there's this just real image that keeps coming up when we talk about this of blue ocean space was used in just like, you know, like bro marketing. Of like, you position yourself out here where that's like you're a category of one. But this is the experience, too, where like everything is possible. Where you're not restricted by who you feel you have been or what you thought your work or your brand was or the patterns that you keep repeating. It's really slowing down, stopping time enough to land where everything is possible. Everything is new beyond like the mental looping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And thinking about like whoever's listening, if you could feel the potentiality, like what if I could create this experience where like where I have been, what I have tried is actually quite irrelevant. Even things you've been carrying 5 years old really don't have to play into what happens next, what happens going forward. If somatically you know how to practice and access like this still point.
Exactly.
That's just the minor, you know, the minor promise of the portal is that that will happen more and more and become like a familiar home from where you create from desire, from aliveness instead of restriction and formula.
Right. Exactly. So good. I mean, it's so good.
It is. It is so good. Okay, we'll sign off for this segment and we'll see you next.
Bye.
Thanks for joining. We're accepting early enrollment applications right now until July 7th. And we start in full on August 7th, 2025. We hope you step inside.